Connect the Dots with Allison Rose Levy, Saturdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. This is Allison Rose Levy, and I'm with you every Saturday at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. On Connect the Dots, we connect the dots between our personal health and our total health environment, the health of our society, of the Earth's ecology, as well as the health of each one of us. And, you know, it used to be that if you just kind of took steps to look after your personal health, then you could get by and that would be fine. But more and more, we're really being challenged to step up from just a close-up focus on the self to look at our communities and develop a kind of mid-range vision of what's going on in our immediate community that's being demanded of us by a lot of changes that are happening at the local, community, and state level, as well as developing what I call distant health vision, seeing what's going on with the global ecology of our planet, as well as with the policies of our society. So, you know, a lot of the infrastructures of our modern times are more complex than what an individual on their own can get their hands around, but together we really can make a difference. And I think some events of this last week, which we're going to discuss on today's show, really show why we must do it and how we can do it. So I have a very exciting show today for you guys. I'm really looking forward to speaking with the two guests that we'll have on today in turn at the hour and half hour. And what we'll be talking about is two different major events of the week. First, we'll be discussing the what some are calling a fiasco. From a public relations perspective, it certainly was a fiasco, but I think it also could be called a loss of faith, a loss of trust, an undermining of trust, entailed by the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which cut funds to Planned Parenthood based on political pressures and then did an about-face and is kind of making statements that suggest that they are reversing their decision, although I think it's going to require some vigilance to see how true that really is and how that plays out. So we'll be discussing that in the first half hour of Connect the Dots. And in the second half hour, we'll be discussing another major news item of the week, which is the arrest midweek of Josh Fox, the Academy Award-nominated film documentarian and journalist who made the film Gasland, which really has brought the rampant spread of hydraulic fracking to public notice through that Academy Award-winning film. He was arrested at the behest of House Congressional Republicans while doing, you know, what journalists and members of the press are really supposed to do on our behalf, which is cover a public hearing. So we'll talk more about that in the second half of our show with David Braun of United for Action. So, you know, we have two really major invitations for people to step up this week, and people have been stepping up. And I think this is a preview of what 2012 is going to be like. We probably have more ahead, so time to build up those activist muscles. So now I'll be welcoming my first guest, who's actually a longtime friend and just a terrific, valiant, in the trenches support to individuals and families facing cancer, with some very key insights in what we need to do as a society to make everyone safer from cancer and to really have less cancer, which is the name of his organization, Less Cancer. And I'd like to welcome Bill Cousins, who's the founder of that, to Connect the Dots. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Allison, and thanks for everything that you're doing for everyone. I follow your blogs, I listen to your show. You are so good at keeping people up to speed, including myself.
Well, thanks. We have to be up to speed and on our toes. And, you know, we've had discussions over the many years, the several years that we've been friends, and I'm very aware of your incredible work. In fact, you know, it's interesting, Bill, because before this current blowout happened, I've been working on a book, which is coming to completion in this coming year, and I actually was writing about Susan G. Komen before any of this happened, and I think there's an important distinction to be made that we can get into a little later in the program between, you know, in terms of what we really mean by prevention, because from my perspective, less cancer is really about prevention, you know, and yet somehow there's confusion around that because that word has been co-opted. So I think that's another, this is a moment for insight around that. One, you know, and I think both of us, I believe, are really savvy to be PR and the way that ideas, beliefs, trusts in institutions and organizations can be, you know, sort of manipulated by marketing. You know, we see a pink ribbon, we hear Race for the Cure. You know, I'm really into getting people to kind of wake up to what they're being sold in this kind of way because, you know, on the one hand, a lot of people are saying, I've been in blogosphere on this, and a lot of people are saying, how could they do this? This is a betrayal of trust. And yet, a lot of people trusted Susan G. Komen without really looking very closely at who they were, who their supporters were. You know, we just kind of bought the package. One of the things that was said in one of the press reports that I read was that some of the local Komen affiliates in various locations were saying, oh my God, we were not prepared for this. We didn't know this would be coming down or how to handle it. Now, what that says is, we didn't have the PR preparation, first. And second, it says this is not a grassroots organization that's, you know, kind of from the bottom up, sort of bubbling up to meet the public need. It's really a top-down organization where we have a new vice president or executive that came into Komen with a strong anti-abortion agenda, and then this is imposed from the top down. And I think that tells us a lot about the organization. Even if they hadn't made this extremely egregious choice, which now they claim to have reversed, you know, what does all of this say to you and to us about Komen from your perspective, Bill, as someone who is working in the trenches with cancer patients?
Well, it is, you know, I didn't start working in the trenches with cancer patients. In fact, when we started almost 9 years ago, I had been involved with the project that I founded for free mammograms, and I thought, you know, we put some money up. I thought this is going to be great. We're going to be able to take care of lots of women and men. It ended up being men as well. And, you know, it was an interesting journey. And each year we had more and more mammograms, and people kept saying, isn't that great? And I was like, I don't really get the great. We just keep doing more and more. I don't understand how we get to less and less. So it's been a burning question for me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when my sister died, I thought, God, you know, I know so many people in my life that I'm close to, I love, they're part of my weekly conversations, and they're fighting cancer, or they're dying of cancer, and what's that about? I'm not a scientist. I am a consultant in the promotions business. I'm not an expert at cancer or human health, but I quickly learned that we needed to be guided by that evidence-based science and medicine. And so when we put our board together, we made sure we were guided by some of the best evidence-based science out there today. So your question, back to your question about prevention and losing sight of our goals, I think it's something all organizations struggle with. We do as well. You know, I think a lot do. And we always come back to that first question, is this about prevention? Prevention, not really meaning, you know, early detection, but really stopping cancer at the root cause. And is that something that we can do? You know, people will say to me, I've had people say to me, gosh, if I could have prevented cancer, I would have. Don't you think I would have done that? And obviously, you know, that would have been the case. We can't identify who's going to get cancer and who's not going to get cancer. But we do know, and really what we're about is the discussion of including prevention when we're looking at cancer. And I think you know, since 1971, when Richard Nixon launched his war on cancer, you know, we've spent countless billions of dollars, and now we have more cancer, not less cancer. So that's really what we're all about, is including prevention in the conversation, to widen our lens and to say, wait a minute, we are getting to this place where we've got more cancer, not less cancer, and are there things that we can be doing? And so
things like limiting toxic pollutants, which are implicated in increasing cancer risk, things like changing nutrition to more pro-immune, high-nutrient foods as opposed to more carcinogenic food ingredients, all of that spectrum from personal to societal to global that you're looking at.
Yeah, and a lot of these issues, you know, get right down to, you know, poverty issues in a place like Detroit, where reportedly I think the functional illiteracy rate is 47%, not reading directions menu or prescription bottle. You know, I have to think that reading is prevention in that case. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we see a lot of these issues increase when there's poverty. And so I actually was speaking to a group last spring in Detroit, and, you know, forever a lot of people would dismiss these reduction of risk issues, these food choices issues, this kind of, you know, rich white guy, yuppie type items. And the reality is that, you know, we should provide choices to people at all levels. And so in a place like Detroit, for instance, where I happened to be, there was a fast food place, and there really wasn't anything else around there to buy any kind of food. But I did find this soup kitchen, this Capuchin soup kitchen, that actually farms enough food organically, it's certified organic, to feed 2,000 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that looks like a better food choice. And they are an organization that really honors the people, their clients, and their customers, and they treat them that way. And and they make them part of the food process. So there are choices out there. I think it's easy for people to say things like, you get cancer from anything. You get, anything's going to cause cancer, or a little of this isn't going to hurt, or a little of that isn't going to hurt. And just actually last night I heard somebody talking about arsenic in apple juice, and the physician said, well, you know, a little bit's not going to hurt you. My question is, why? Why do we have arsenic in apple juice? Why do we have some of these unnecessary and preventable exposures? And isn't it possible that maybe we do things a little differently? I had written a blog a few weeks ago, actually it was before Christmas, about, you know, when we sit down to, when business or government or whatever sits down and has these conversations about projects, like how's this going to make money, are we ever going to include how's this going to make money and is it good for human health and the environment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that part of a relevant conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a lot about marketing and how we're shaped by dollars. We have, we're a very small organization. We're not very savvy with fundraising. We have been, we really have tried to stick to this mission of prevention and staying on task with that. It's difficult when you've got large companies offering money, like we saw with Komen and Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, you know, that whole Kentucky Fried Chicken with debauch.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Bill? What do you mean? What's going on with that?
To me, it seemed quite odd, and I think I wrote about it.
Well, no, tell me what the connection is, because our listeners may not be, you know, kind of familiar with that.
You know, they were a sponsor of the Race for the Cure. Maybe a $5 million sponsorship. I'm not sure of that number. But to me, it just didn't seem like, wow, this is a way to get to less cancer. And is the burning question less cancer or more treated cancer?
Mm-hmm.
How do you turn this around? I mean, pink ribbons on buckets of fried chicken, That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then this year, Breast Cancer Month, we've seen lots of pink ribbons on different product lines, including, you know, Pepperidge Farm Milano cookies, which I love, by the way, but it's not helpful. You know, it is, we have to start really asking ourselves these questions, and it's not as if I'm the big, you know, health guru or you know, food guru. I make lots of eating errors, and some I knowingly do and enjoy. You know, I'm a big Twizzlers fan, Twizzlers licorice, and that's a result of quitting smoking. we're not all perfect, and I understand that some of these choices are difficult, but we need to raise the consciousness, and we have. You know, people like yourself, Allison, have been extremely effective and helping change the marketplace. We now go into grocery stores where we have aisles and aisles of green, real green products or organic products or products that are raised locally without, you know, all the additives of antibiotics and everything else. So people like yourself, because you have taken a message and you've made it bite-sized, mainstreamed, not crazy, not a crazy message, but a very centered message, You have been, you and others, but you probably a first in show, have been, you know, really so helpful in changing the marketplace. So people are now demanding better, healthier products.
You know, well, that's a whole topic. Thank you, Bill. And that's a whole topic because, as you're aware, which I don't know if I've talked about it on the show before, but I do have a, you know, 20, 25-year background in promoting healthy nutrition, writing healthy nutritional books with some leading doctors and scientists. And, you know, I'm very aware of what it is, what we need to do. And, in fact, you know, and I'll confess, too, that actually no longer, but when I was at CBS News, you know, my 4 o'clock low energy, 4 p.m. low energy, low adrenal energy break was Twizzlers. So, you know, I get it, and I'm not perfect. I don't do it anymore, but, you know, it's not about being completely perfect, but it is about being, cognizant. And so I think, you know, you brought up an interesting point, which is when we kind of let these minor exposures off the hook, a little of this and a little of that couldn't hurt, you know, is what you were quoting this guy as saying. And, you know, that is the attitude. And on the one hand, we all do a little of this and a little of that. And, you know, it's not like we have to just, you know, be on a high horse and be perfect. But, you know, but on the other hand, I don't think it all has to boil down exclusively to our personal choices because, you know, if I do a little of this and a little of that, if we eat Twizzlers, if I eat pizza, which I still do and stuff like that, you know, I can pay the consequences, desirable or undesirable, it's kind of my choice. But it's great to be aware of the choices we make personally. But the thing that we're really, and I think there's been a massive public education campaign, which I've been part of, to make people more aware of their nutritional options and their choices. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there because, you know, what we need to now do is become more aware of our society's choices. And so, you know, I think Komen is so interesting because they give a sense of, you know, hey, yay, we can do something. You know, and that's been a great thing where people are like, they feel like they're doing something, but, you know, then it turns out what they're doing may be supporting the growth of a cancer industry, which is, you know, we may need it to treat the rising incidence of cancer, and cancer incidence is rising, but is it the way to go, and are the kinds of corporate sponsorships, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken is one you mentioned, but there are others, no doubt. I mean, one of the, you know, which may be operating backstage at an organization with a good PR front. And so, you know, we can no longer just kind of take for granted the goodwill and the pink ribbon and kind of things because there's stuff going on behind the door. And organizations like Komen, I also want to say, function to block a real look at prevention. I was writing about them in my book because I've heard them make many PR statements. With the millions of dollars they deploy, they don't send a nickel down the road to filling the gap in the research that we need to be, that needs to happen and that we don't have, that answers the question whether a little bit of this and a little bit of that, what does it all add up to, and how does that all go together to produce the declining health we're seeing in this country? And, you know, I would like to see their organization do that rather than build up a profit center around the treatment.
It's not only them, Allison. We see this across the board. We can go to the Livestrong website and see nutritional advice for eating at McDonald's, which seems crazy to me. We can get to the American Cancer Society, where they now have birthday cake and tout use the term in describing more birthdays as being about less cancer, when in reality, more birthdays is the greatest risk for cancer, more treated cancer, not less cancer.
Let's drill into that a little bit, Bill, because you have a terrific analysis of that I'd love to have you share with our listeners. So the American Cancer Society has kind of a rah-rah, let's all participate program, and it's called More Birthdays, and it features a big pink, sickly sweet birthday cake logo image. And what you're saying is the more birthdays you are, namely the older you are, the higher your risk for cancer. And so there's a disconnect there.
Right. There is a disconnect there because that's not about less cancer. Less cancer is a term that if you do the searches, you know it really wasn't around before the foundation, our public charity, Next Generation Choices Foundation, started that. And, you know, you never really saw less and cancer together. It was always beat, kick, triumph. There was never this notion, in a soundbite that indicated there could possibly be less cancer, as we know there are when we've seen, people quit smoking or, stay away from things like asbestos and other types of, exposures. So, the reality is this is all about being really clear. We talked about public relations. Mm-hmm. Public relations, when you're dealing with human health and the environment, has to be guided by truth. It really can't be fuzzy. It really can't be about sounding good or looking good or selling a product. And that's why, organizations like ours aren't getting a lot of money, because we're not out there selling ourselves to different product lines. And, it's a tough battle to wage. It's tough to exist in this climate. But it's also a critical message that we're honest about what we're consuming. Are there really health benefits to McDonald's food? I don't think so, but that's me. I'm not a scientist or a nutritionist.
No, I can tell you the scientific that unequivocally the answer to that is no. There are studies, and I worked directly with the doctor who did these studies, and they were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association and other, top-notch, top three evidence-based medical journals, and he looked into this exact question. Even though common sense would dictate that high sugary, fried fat, salty foods would, really not be health promoting, common sense might tell us that, but then we've kind of given up common sense and handed it over to somebody else. But as a result, this doctor did the research, and he proved that soda and fast food causes weight gain, causes obesity, changes in metabolism, does not satiate, does not nourish. He did all the research. So we can unequivocally say fast food contributes to weight gain, to inflammatory ailments, to to diabetes, and to cancer. We can draw that line because that's part of the inflammatory process. So the question is, why would Livestrong then be promoting that people eat McDonald's foods?
I have no more idea. I have no idea. It seems odd to me, but we see this across the board. And the other thing that I really, when this doctor was, I overheard on TV last night talking about arsenic and apple juice is, a lack of science does not translate to faith. It never translates to faith. And we often are guided by, well, we haven't found anything yet to prove that blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, I think we have to really understand that a lack of science doesn't mean, okay, it's good to go. Just as, you know, the other piece of this is that when we work for less cancer, when we work to reduce risk, guess what? Things like the environment start turning around, the economy, you know, lots of things are impacted. So even, you know, with health issues like obesity, asthma, heart disease, when the high bar is working to reduce cancer risk, lots of things, lots of good things happen. And so, and can happen. There's the potential for great things to happen. So that's the place where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm. I just want to let listeners know that they can connect with your organization online at lesscancer.org. You can sign up, participate, get a lot of information, resources, and you have a range of activities and events as well. So what you're saying is, you know, some of these good things trend in the right direction. They all kind of, you know, trend down the same pathway. And yet we kind of let ourselves off the hook a little bit and incur these health risks. Sadly and unfortunately, waiting for science, which, you know, that's one of the reasons I wish that some of these big organizations like Komen, like the American Cancer Society, I don't know if Livestrong is contributing to a research agenda, look into what you're discussing at Less Cancer Prevention, rather than, you know, racing for a cure. I don't think that, you know, it's been going on since 1970. Let's do the math. This is 42 years. Is that a race? I don't think so.
And you know what, Allison? I've had so many people in my life with cancer. There's nobody more than me that wants the cure. I want the cure more than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So missing that, I just think that when that conversation comes into play, why is it that we have hospice, you know, growing at rapid speeds? Why is it that we have, you know, I think since the 70s, children's brain cancers are up 40%, their blood cancers in the 60% area.
Tragic, you know, really.
Why is that? You know, it's not because we're better at diagnosing. Why is it that we have more babies born with cancer? These are things that, you know, I'm curious about and I think should be part of everyone's conversation. And to dismiss things just because it's a concern is not a way of addressing it.
I agree with you 100%. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining us today on Connect the Dots. And, you know, hope to have you back again soon. Listeners, please connect with Bill Cousins' organization, lesscancer.org. Thank you again, Bill. And we will be taking a break for station identification. And then I'll be back with you for the second portion of Connect the Dots, where David Braun of United for Action will be joining us to discuss the shocking arrest by congressional Republicans, really were the initiators of this, of Josh Fox this past week. Welcome back, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and the show and I am here with you every Saturday at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm a Huffington Post blogger and a 25-year green and health journalist. You can get more of my blogs by following me on the Huffington Post, on Facebook at my page Connecting the Dots for Health, as well as at my website where you can sign up for a free weekly e-zine that sends you my blogs as well as radio announcements for upcoming shows like this one. You can sign up at healthjournalistblog.com. And now we're going to shift gears into the second half of the show. But before we do, regular listeners know that I like to link our interviews and content to action. So it's a way to support a lot of people in taking action on a range of the important causes and policies that we need to address and change in order to protect health and the environment. And as a follow-up to the first half of the show, where we're talking about the Susan G. Komen political reversal on Planned Parenthood with Bill Cousins. Just as we were on the air and speaking, an action link came through on my email that I want to share with you all who would like to donate. Over this weekend, a number of prominent groups are agreeing to match donations made directly to Planned Parenthood, and I think the best cure for what we've just seen over the last week is to donate directly to Planned Parenthood rather than go through middlemen with mixed agendas, you know, like the Susan G. Komen Foundation, although I'm sure, you know, that some of their initiatives are, you know, toward the good. In order to find this mixed agenda, if you would like to. And now let's move on to the second half of the show. I want to welcome back someone who's been a guest here before and will no doubt return again because he's one of the people that I rely on. President of United for Action is joining me now to talk about the shocking arrest this past week of documentarian and journalist Josh Fox as he performed his duty as a member of the press, as a journalist, filming an open public hearing in Congress, something that journalists not only are free to do and have always been free to do, but in fact they do it on our behalf. So I was really shocked when I heard this had happened, and David is here with us to talk a little bit more about this. Welcome, David.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. Great.
Great. Good.
I mean, I was just appalled when I learned that Josh Fox had been arrested at the behest of Republican congressmen. Can you both tell our listeners who may not be familiar with this what happened, and also give us a context, because I have never heard of such a thing occurring in my lifetime.
Well, I think we can, you know, officially say it now that big businesses purchased our government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this would be the way that we could actually evidence that big business has, you know, is controlling or has a major stake in, or a major control in terms of what's going on in our government. And it's a sad day. I'm glad that we were able to see it because we've all known it's been going on, but you know, you basically have a guy like Representative Andy Harris, who's a congressman from Maryland, who took $44,000 last year from the oil and gas industry, $10,000 of those dollars coming from the Koch brothers.
Wow.
And you have him tell, you know, Josh Fox, who's in there and just wants to capture, you know, this subcommittee hearing, that he can't, you know, videotape this. And it's absolutely ludicrous. But, you know, I mean, really what it's about is that the oil and gas industry has for many, many years been saying that there is not one case of contamination due to hydraulic fracturing. And, you know, and it's kind of their legalese way of getting around all the contamination that's happened, because they'll say, well, that wasn't due to, you know, hydraulic fracturing. That was due to a well casing failure, or that was due to a blowout, or that was due to, you know, any of the other numerous things that go wrong on these well sites, you know, which are basically Superfund sites. With all these chemicals and these volatile organic compounds and everything. But now, with the EPA coming out and saying that there were hydraulic fracturing chemicals found in the water, now that is a moment in history, because mm-hmm. the industry no longer can make these ridiculous claims saying that you know, there's no contamination from hydraulic fracturing. And so they want to do everything they can. And actually, if you go and watch what happened in the hearing after, you know, Josh was ejected. You know, science was on trial. You know, the Republicans went after the people at the EPA and just tried to, you know, basically do everything they could to discredit the information that was presented. And, you know, and so these guys, I mean, this is a three-year study. I mean, it's not like they just kind of tested the water once and then they said that, you know, this contamination was caused by hydraulic fracture. This went on for years and years and years. And the EPA knew that they were going to go on trial for this. And they, you know, they put all their ducks in a row. You know, this isn't, you know, just kind of a flip comment that they're making. The evidence is there. So
this is a case where it's not just, this is a case where they basically violate First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a public public hearing. It's not a private session.
Right.
Friends of mine who were independent documentarians, you know, decades or two back, came in videotaping public sessions, a routine thing that anybody who's in the press can do. And, you know, that was how the Iran-Contra gate was brought to life, because independent journalists, you know, were there taping these sessions. So these Republicans knew that finally the evidence, the scientific evidence, was coming down the pike and be revealed to the public. And, of course, it will be revealed one way or another, but this is right where it's put into the public record. And we pay for that. We pay for them, and this study was done with our taxpayer money, and we're entitled and, in fact, need to hear the result. And it's that precise moment where, wishing to censor that information, they decide to cross the line and, you know, step on our First Amendment rights in order to suppress that information for one more day. I mean, that is really so transparent what their motivations are.
It's extremely unfortunate. But, you know, like I said, I think it's good that we at least have a very kind of a clear-cut example of truly what's going on in our government right now. You know, there's, I think for one of the, you know, Josh is working on the Gasland 2, the upcoming sequel, and, you know, my understanding is that he was doing an interview with a congressman there for the second movie, and, you know, they start the interview, and Josh's first question is, so do you think that the oil and gas industry has, you know, undue influence in our legislative process? And the response from the congressperson was, undue influence. He says they write the legislation. And then, of course, his next question was, well, have we started the interview yet? And Josh says, yes, we have. And so the response after that was, well, I guess I haven't said anything that isn't true. So, you know, this is something that we've known is going on for some time. But what makes this also kind of diabolical is that there are people's lives at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, something I was mentioning to somebody who's living in a kind of a place where drilling's going on is that, you know, these companies, their stake in all of this is to make money. That is their stake. That's the beginning and the end of it. But the people who are living in these places where they're doing this gas drilling have a much greater stake. It's that their lives are there. Their families are there. Their health is there. Their history is there. Everything is there. And so it's very, I want to say fascinating, but it's really disturbing is what it is that you have these companies that only are interested in making money, that are deciding the policy for the people whose lives are invested in these places. And not only are they deciding the policy, but the policy is even in the face of, you know, information that's saying this is clearly damaging. They're still somehow able to get away with it. I mean, honestly, this should have, you know, the exemptions and the Halliburton loophole should have never occurred back in 2005. You know, those were all laws that were meant to keep us safe from this exact sort of practice. Fracking essentially is a wholesale destruction of a substantial portion of the Earth's crust through the use of a dirty bomb that, you know, is laden with each one of these wells has 400,000 pounds of toxic chemicals you know, and 50% of them are cancer causing, and 50% of them, you know, are immune suppressants and endocrine disruptors, and you know, and they're doing that, you know, in like New York State, they want to do that 100,000 times over. I mean, that's not an energy future. That's ludicrous. And the fact that they were able to actually push a desperate, misguided energy policy like this through, and then they have a politician as, you know, as respected as, you know, say Barack Obama, you know, there in his State of the Union address chiming how, you know, great this is. And then they're still using these terms like we still have to make sure it's safe, or we're going to need, I mean, it's not safe. We know it's not safe. You know, there are people with barium poisoning and you know, all these health effects to prove it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a really, it's just a kind of a sad state of affairs in this country right now.
The CDC, an official at the CDC said, we can't say it's safe. We know it isn't safe. It's going to take a minimum of 3 years to do the research that begins to look at that. None of that research, you know, has been done. In the state of New York, the recent proposal to put in place guidelines for beginning this process as soon as, you know, it's green-lighted by the governor contained no health assessment of any kind. And yet, you know, with all of the risk factors, which are not risk factors, they're risks, they're health certainties, you know, the certainty of creating health problems, all of that's in place. The head of the CDC says, we know this isn't safe. And yet then, you know, they toss around a term like safe. In the first half of the show, we weren't talking about fracking, but we were talking about what true prevention of cancer, which rates are rising, would actually look like, rather than, you know, just providing early detection or a lot of treatment. That's not preventing it. So, you know, it's really interesting that both the Susan G. Komen and this egregious event all happened, you know, within the same 48-hour period. But this is what cancer prevention looks like. Stopping this is cancer prevention, actually, not what some of these larger organizations are doing. So, you know, I think those links have to be, you know, made in everyone's mind.
And if I may, I'd actually even like to broaden this into a wider context, so that, you know, you say cancer prevention, you're absolutely right. And let's not forget that, you know, basically, I think I talked about this a little bit on the last time I was on your show, but there was an article that came out in the Wall Street Journal last February, about a year ago, and it talked about how Exxon is completely out of oil. And so as a result, they're diversifying their portfolio, if you will. They purchased a gas drilling company called XTO.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's what Exxon did when they started running out of oil. And now we've seen the whole industry do the same thing. So Chevron purchased a company called Atlas, which is another gas drilling company. Shell is now in the gas drilling, the fracking business. BP is in the gas drilling, fracking business. And ConocoPhillips. So what we're seeing is we're seeing that this whole fracking thing is the oil and gas industry trying to, you know, recreate itself. It's trying to rebrand itself. It's redeveloping itself. It's retooling its product line just so it can continue to make money. And that's what this whole build out of all these power plants and, you know, every, you know, T-Boone Pickens wants to run all of our trucks on natural gas and Obama's jumping on with them. And but basically, really what this is, I mean, 15 years ago, we had an electric car. And we had many of them, but that got killed. And essentially it was killed by the oil and gas industry because they weren't done with their stranglehold on our energy policy. And this is just them doing that again. Now, we could have already have been switching our fleet of vehicles that we have out here on the roads, which are currently running on, you know, gasoline, over to electricity, that we could be getting, this electricity could be going from solar panels or for wind power or for other, you know, from other renewable energy sources that are passive energy sources that don't poison people. Mm-hmm. You know, and instead, you know, of having that, which would lower our cancer rates, right? I mean, I live in New York City, and every time I walk down the street, I'm constantly having to stop breathing because these fumes are flying in my face. And I tell you, we're like the, there's a story about the, you know, the frog, And if you put a frog into a boil, you know, pot of hot water or whatever, boiling water, the frog is smart enough to jump out. But if you have the frog into the water when the water is, you know, cold or lukewarm, and then you slowly start to heat the water, the frog will sit there and boil. It won't know when to jump out because it's just kind of acclimated itself to the temperature. And that's what's going on with us. Like, America has just acclimated themselves to the temperature of that we have to poison ourselves. And I've even had people in the environmental movement that are working on this issue with me that tell me things like, oh, well, there just has to be a certain amount of, you know, poisoning that we have to acclimate ourselves. And it's like, no, we don't. We don't have to acclimate ourselves to cancer. We don't have to acclimate ourselves to injecting these huge amounts, tons and tons of chemicals that cause cancer and all sorts of other health, you know, risks or associated issues into the ground. We don't have to acclimate ourselves to any of it. What we need to do is we need to now push back. We must push back against the onslaught of the oil and gas industry making our decisions about where we get our energy from. We need to move our vehicles over to run on electricity. We don't need to be living with this poisoning. I mean, this frog is jumping out of the pot. I have to.
I'm jumping with you.
I'll tell you, you're not the only one, which is a nice thing, which is very exciting.
Well, I tell you, I know we're not. And actually, since we've begun this kind of thing, it's been more and more and more. In fact, the one thing that I found very as egregious as these two events that I'm covering on this show were this last week, the thing that I found very heartening was the instant social media pushback. There were, you know, over 20,000 comments on both the Komen betrayal of trust through withdrawing funds from Planned Parenthood and an equal or if not more number about Josh Fox's arrest. More and more, when I began reporting on the Huffington Post about fracking 3.5 years ago, nobody knew what I was talking about. Now we have 20,000 people, and that was before Gasland came out, and now thanks to your work and Josh's work and Mark Ruffalo and a whole bunch of people and Abram Lusgardner at ProPublica, I'm doing my bit, you know, a lot more people are aware. And so the thing is, if you're acclimating people, if you are not taking action, I really urge you to go to United for Action right now on United for Action, which is David Braun's group. There's a very easy to act upon action to contact President Obama and question and push back to some of these things. He's got a lot of industry people with a lot of dollars contributing to his campaign and influencing him. We need to influence him in the other direction. Otherwise, it's like the gas industries using our government have given us a cancer prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So to say you have to acclimate is to say, thank you, I'll accept that. If you're not prepared to accept that, then push back, jump out of the boiling water right now, go to United for Action and take action and sign up for future actions. You can also follow them on Facebook. This is what each of us can do. And if we, you know, feel depressed or sad or overwhelmed or grievous or scared, you know, that our society is in this situation, that's totally understandable. But actually, the cure, the prescription that I would write, that I do write for people, is to take action, because you feel better when you've joined with others who are taking action, and there are more and more of us every day. That's what these high figures of response to Josh's arrest show.
Yeah, and you're doing something. I mean, you're no longer, you know, passively a victim. That, you know, whether your actions bear fruit or not, and ours are. I mean, we got 25,000, our friends from Working Families Party put out a petition, I think, you know, the day it happened. And within, you know, 2 or 3 days, they had 25,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our actions are bearing fruit. But beyond that, it allows someone to no longer be a kind of a passive victim, and allows you to actually stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong. You know, I've had enough. You know, I prioritized, you know, doing social things with friends, or, you know, going to the movies, or, but, you know, today, instead of doing that, I'm going to change my priorities, and I'm going to do something that's going to take some action, and I'm going to do something to change my world and make it a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this world is such a beautiful place, and it's got so much potential. And because, and fossil fuels have done well for us, but because these fossil fuel companies have have kind of dominated our policies, they've taken us down a road. Mm-hmm. And it's now time for us to steer it in the other direction because, you know, we deserve it, and the world deserves it, and we know the true potential of what can be had here. And it's not these companies deciding our future. It's us taking the control of our future back. And steering it in a much more healthy, sustainable direction. And,
Absolutely. And I'm
grateful to you and all the work that you do because you're just such a champion and you put yourself out there. And, you know, it's just an honor to know you, and just so many of the other people that we work with. It is, the silver lining is this amazing community of people.
Absolutely.
That we work with. Who are
absolutely.
Just
I mean, these
beautiful.
Are really, oh my God, this is a, you know, ordinary people working hard, caring, heroic. It makes a huge difference. I think one of the reasons people don't take action is they feel helpless and alone and like there's nothing they can do. And it's true. One person, all you can do is decide whether you'll eat this or move there. That's a very lonely position. But with a group, there's a lot more that can be done. And the other point I just want to highlight here, because we're kind of coming down toward the last minutes of our program, but Josh Fox was on the Ed Show twice this past week. And I watched it both times. He was terrific on the show. It's on YouTube. I urge listeners to, you know, go hear his terrific laying down of the issues. And I know you work very closely with him, David, in the community and, you know, at his website as well, gaslandmovie.com, another way to participate. But one of the things that Josh said, and I just wanted to kind of raise that in the last minutes, is it's not just about fracking. It's not just about the gas and oil industry as big as they are. You know, this infringement of first person, you know, First Amendment rights is really about democracy. And so, you know, if this particular issue isn't, you know, your particular issue, although we feel it should be, especially if you live in any of the 34 states that are subject to this, including New York, where it's, you know, threatening to cross our borders. But even, you know, if it didn't speak to you for some reason, this is about democracy. When you, you know, when politicians bought by an industry do not permit the press to do its job and arrest them, you know, we are heading down a very rocky road. That can manifest in a whole host of different ways. So for that alone, it's important to take action, to follow this story, and I am going to follow and keep people updated on it as it unfolds with Josh Fox's arrest. And this is a point he makes in the Ed Show. What do you have to say to people about that, David?
Well, I think you're right, and I would actually just add, it's not that we're heading down a rocky road. We are down the rocky road. And it is up to us to say, we got to get off this road. We need to expose this corporate dominance of our political system and push back that the people's voices must be heard at this time. I mean, that's what, you know, so much of what's going on, the Occupy movement and so many of the other things. But we have to. I mean, it's absolutely critical. If this country is to, you know, stay the country that it is and have the potential that it does, these policies must be reversed, and we have to, you know, change the Citizens United must be reversed, and you know, we have to get the money out of the political system and devise something that's much more sane, because the democracy that we have here is at this point in time is very tenuous, and it's critical that, you know, people get involved in whatever level, your local politics, politics on the national level, and you know, make phone calls, you know, influence the people around you, get people involved, you know, and you know, get out there and make statements, sign those petitions, make those phone calls, because, you know, once these decisions are made on the behest of big business, the people that suffer is us, and that's all of us. And so we can either, go down separately, or we can stand together. And that's what
Amen.
We need to do. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, yeah. David Braun. Yeah. Once again, I'm now officially dubbing you a recurring guest on Connect the Dots.
It's a pleasure.
Sign up at David's website, unitedforaction.org. Thank you, listeners, for being with us this week on Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I look forward to connecting the dots with you next Saturday at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Umma uwe, 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 umma uwe